On page 26 in the back of the Psalter, we read Lord's Day 50 of the Heidelberg Catechism, which is the fourth petition. We're looking at the Lord's Prayer, which is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. We read from the scriptures this evening in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, and we read from verse 29 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 15, verse 29 to the end of the chapter. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh into the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to feed so great a multitude? And Jesus said unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coasts of Magdala. This evening, beloved, we turn to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, in which Jesus begins to teach us to pray for those things more directly related to ourselves. And as we begin tonight, we want to look at the position of this petition in the Lord's Prayer. The first thing to remember is this, that it's not the first petition in the Lord's Prayer. Before Jesus gives this petition, which has to do with us and our needs, there are 3 petitions that relate directly to God and to His interests. And that teaches us that prayer is more, much more than petition and request for ourselves. Prayer is also praise. Prayer is, as I've said, the believer's conscious entering into the presence of God, so that we come before Him and bow before Him and we worship Him and His interests and His glory and His name and His kingdom and His will are first in our thinking as we come before Him. God is first. God must be first in our prayers. And that means this too, that when God answers the petitions that have to do with us, when He meets our needs, He does that so that we may serve Him with the things that He gives to us. He answers our prayers for us so that with those answers we may promote the glory and the honor of His name here in the earth. We must see as we come to our needs that we still stand before God. We still stand in the presence of God in our prayers. Even in the physical dimension of our daily life, in our eating, in our doctor's visits, in our health, our dress, we stand before God as servants of His. And as God gives us what we need for our lives, health and necessities, we have obligation to serve Him with those things that He gives to us. And so this petition is not first. This petition comes after the petitions that are more directly related to God. But then in the second place, notice concerning the position of this petition that it's first among the requests that have to do directly with us. It's first among the petitions that we ask concerning ourselves. And that's interesting and that's peculiar because we all know that this isn't the most important thing that we ask for in our life and in our prayers. This isn't the thing that should take priority in our life, the meeting of our daily needs. And yet, Jesus tells us here to pray this first. Pray for your daily needs. If you look at the Lord's Prayer as a whole, you see there's a proportion. Yes, there's one petition that has to do with our physical needs, this one. But it's one among six. And there are also the beginning and the conclusion of the prayer, which have to do with God. And so, a very small part of prayer, Jesus is teaching us, should really have to do with our need, our physical need. And yet, Jesus puts it first. This is not random. There's an order in and a logic in the prayer that Jesus gives. Why does Jesus put it first? Jesus puts this first among our needs because our natural well-being is necessary for our spiritual well-being in this world. In other words, God answers this petition and God gives us, again, our physical needs so that we may be a people who serve Him and have and find our spiritual needs met in Him. He's given us spiritual duties. He's given us spiritual reason for existence. And He meets our earthly needs to equip us for spiritual service of Him. And what a grace that is. Think about it, because you don't have the capacity one day to survive from a physical point of view. But especially, you don't have the ability from a spiritual point of view to serve God. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We're unable and unfit to perform our duties towards God. And God gives us health. God meets our needs so that we may be equipped to serve and to praise Him. Now, as we pray this petition, in that light, understanding its position in the Lord's Prayer and its proportion to the other petitions, as we pray this petition, we will grow spiritually. And we'll grow spiritually because we'll learn so many things. We'll understand how things in our life, in our physical life, stand in their relation to God and why we are here in this world. So tonight we want to look at this petition under the theme, praying for our earthly needs. We'll notice first the mundane request. In the second place, the reasons that we must ask it. And then third, the implications for our lives. Praying for our earthly needs. We want to look first at the mundane request. And we mean by that that this is an ordinary request. It's kind of surprising that Jesus would tell us to pray for such a thing as daily bread. What a little insignificant thing. We're not praying for anything spectacular here from our point of view. It's something that we would ordinarily not even think about, except that Jesus told us to pray for this. Now, the words of this petition are very simple in their meaning. They're very simple and ordinary ideas that even the youngest children can understand. And maybe as we come to this petition, we say, well, I know what it means. There's no reason for me to study the words that Jesus gives here. I know the meaning of this petition. And yet, it's true for every one of us, regardless of how wealthy or how poor we may be, whatever our situation in life, it's good for every one of us to be reminded of the simple expression of this petition. In prosperity, that's good. Because in prosperity, we tend to forget the Lord and think that our own arm and our own strength has given us the things that we have. And we tend to think far beyond necessities to luxuries. And it's good for us to be reminded of what Jesus teaches us to pray. But also in poverty. Because we might panic. We might become frantic. We might think, well, I've got to do something. I'm not saying that God doesn't use means. We might want to blame ourselves. And we learn God supplies our physical needs. And so we're reminded here of our dependence on God. We're reminded here of our unworthiness of the least of the things that He gives to us. And so let's look tonight first at this mundane, ordinary request and the meaning of the words that Jesus gives us. Each of the words in this petition teaches us something very important. The first word we want to look at is that word give. Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. There's two ways that somebody might use that word. Somebody may use that word as a demand. Give. In Proverbs it talks about the horse leech who cries, give, give. And a horse leech is just a large blood-sucking leech. And it always wants more. It's never satisfied. Give, give, give. Somebody might use the word give that way. Demanding. But when Jesus tells us to use this word, it's a prayer. It's a petition. First we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, give. It's a confession of dependence. A confession of dependence on God for everything in our life, down to the smallest necessities. God gives. We are dependent. That's very easy for us to forget in our abundance, as I mentioned. In our work, we think our labor brings things to us. And we take things for granted. We would forget to ask this. But we mustn't take daily bread for granted. Nothing. God gives the rain. God gives the seasons. God gives us health. God gives us the abilities that we have to function in this world. We depend on Him from day to day and moment to moment. And sometimes there's a rude awakening when we're cast on Him independence because of sickness or some other trouble. Give. It's a confession of dependence. The second word, us. Give us this day, and again, our daily bread. What does Jesus teach when he teaches us to pray? Give us this day our daily bread. Well, he teaches us that our prayers are corporate. That we don't pray this petition to have our needs met in a vacuum as independent. That God doesn't meet our physical needs all alone, but he meets our physical needs in a community. And we're talking now about an economic community. God meets our needs in this world. And so when we pray this prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying not just for, I'm praying not just for my necessities, but I'm praying that God will meet the needs and the necessities and give health and safety to my family, to other members of the Church of Jesus Christ, to other believers. And yes, even in a sense that he will do that for humanity, for my neighbor as well as myself. And that makes sense. We're interdependent for our food. It takes a community to make a loaf of bread. It takes a community to put milk in the refrigerator. It doesn't just come to you as an individual. And so I pray for myself in the workplace, but I also pray for my boss, my employer. I pray not only for my family, but I pray for the neighbor's family. Give us daily bread. Meet our needs. I pray not only for my business and my place of employment, but for the economy in which we're a part. We pray that God will give us an environment that's fit to produce the things that are necessary for our daily life. But there's more here. When we pray, give us our daily bread, we are identifying ourselves with the poor. And we're expressing an attitude of Christian benevolence towards the needy in their distress. And that's very important. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Well, what doth it profit? It does nothing but leave a hypocritical example. We identify with those who have less. An ancient church father said this, the bread that you let go moldy doesn't belong to you, it belongs to the poor. The shoes of yours that are under your bed or in your closet collecting mildew don't belong to you, they belong to the poor. The garment, the clothes that hang in your closet for years on end and you don't wear belong to the poor. He means this, that when we pray, give us our daily bread, when we pray that God will meet our necessities, we express also a willingness and a readiness to meet the needs of those who lack. And that's important. That's important in our present economic circumstances. That's important for members of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's important as we think about the poor in the congregation and the work of benevolence through the deacons. When as Christian believers in the church, we think about the care of the poor It begins with the members of the body of Christ. First, those of the household of faith. And the deacons are appealing to the congregation for help in the benevolent care that they administer. Here we pray, Lord, don't meet my needs, but our needs. Give us. Isn't that a motivation as you pray this petition to give for the care of the poor? In the third place, Jesus teaches us this, give us this day or today. And then again, our daily bread. Give us today daily bread. And the first thing we should notice about that word is that it's not so much a qualifier of time, but a qualifier of quantity. Jesus isn't teaching us to pray for enough bread for a certain length of time, but he's teaching us to pray for an amount of bread, as much as we need for today. If you look at the Scriptures, you see that many of God's people had to live this way in the Scriptures, from day to day. The children of Israel in the wilderness received bread from God for 40 years in the form of manna. But this was the amazing characteristic about that wonderful, that miraculous bread. This is what was so amazing about it. It didn't last till the next day. And if you were greedy and you took more, it was gone. It smelled and it rotted. And the people had to learn over and over, day after day, for 40 years, to depend on God each day for their bread. Now, that's not the only example in Scripture. Think of Elijah at the brook Cherith. There was water there in the famine. But he had to wait for the ravens to bring him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And then finally the water was gone and God told him to go to where? Zidon. Enemy territory. This is where Jezebel was from. And God sustained him and a widow and her son by giving them just enough each day. When we pray daily bread, that's the first thing. God, Jesus is teaching us about the amount that we should pray for. A competent portion, it says in the Westminster Confession. A competent portion. In Proverbs chapter 30, give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with food convenient for me. Just enough. And then in the second place, Jesus is teaching us here something about the attitude that we should have as we make this request for our needs. We should come to God with dependence rather than greed. Often we come with our greeds rather than our needs. We have what we need. We come with our wants. Beyond today, beyond the daily portion. We come with stirred up by anxiety. And rather than praying for the grace of contentment, we want our luxuries and our wants to be met. There's a danger. Riches and abundance have the danger of producing pride and covetousness. When Israel came into the land of Canaan and no longer received bread from God each day, but now worked in the land. This was the great danger and the great fault of Israel. They said, my hand and my strength and my arm has gotten me these things. Rather than seeing that the Lord met their needs from day to day. Even in a vast economy. Even in a vast economy that depends on things that's contingent on things that have happened years gone by, and that plans for things far into the future. Some of those things are even necessary in our lives as we're good stewards of what God has given to us. Even then, we have to see our daily needs, today's needs, come from the hand of God. Not my arm, not my strength, not my labor, not my wisdom, but the Lord has given. The Lord has given. That frees us from anxiety. Jesus teaches the parable of the rich fool, and then immediately after it, he talks about this anxiety. Don't you think, he says, that God will care for you? He cares for the grass. He cares for the ravens. This is our most basic need. This is at the bottom of the pile of the things that we need. This is, you might say, the least important of the things that we need. And here God is saying, I'll meet that need. Why would you be anxious about anything else if God promises to meet the most basic of your needs? And yet, here's where we often have the most anxiety. We need to pray this prayer in contentment. We need to pray for the grace of contentment with this prayer, trusting that God will meet our needs. And that brings us to the fourth important word here, and it's the word bread. Give us this day our daily bread. On the one hand, that word places a restriction on that which we may ask from God. It's very narrow. Bread. What is bread? Well, it's a basic necessity in every culture, whether it comes in the form of a roll or a loaf or a muffin or a cracker or a crumpet or a rice cake. It's a staple of one's diet. It's the most basic, probably the cheapest food in every culture. Jesus says, that's what you pray for. Bread. You don't pray for bread and butter. You don't pray for bread and meat and potatoes. You don't pray for bread and dessert and ice cream, but simply bread. Not the luxuries, but the necessities of life. The most basic necessities. We come, I said, with our greed. Jesus teaches us to come with our need. And so first, it's very narrow. It limits what we may ask of God and what we should ask of God with regard to our earthly needs. But at the same time, and that means this, we don't come to God with all kinds of frivolous requests with regard to our earthly and our physical existence. People will do that. They'll have all kinds of things that they want. Certain things for sporting events. Certain things for dress. For vehicles. And they have these goals and they make these prayers. Name it and claim it, it's called. And they think that it's virtuous to put faith in God to give us the big luxuries that we want in life. Jesus teaches us to pray for our necessities. It's narrow. And yet at the same time, it's a very broad petition. Just as the Catechism explains it, we pray for all things necessary for the body. And all things necessary for the body extends beyond just bread. It includes a lot of other things. Life is complex. I said a community. It takes a community to make a loaf of bread. Where's the flour come from? Don't know. Where's the salt come from? No idea. Where did the eggs come from? Somewhere else. Where does the milk come from and the butter? to make that loaf of bread. And so we're praying here for God to maintain the economic structure of a society so that our needs may be met. Weather and politics and peace and safety and social order and employment, all those things come under the compass of this very broad petition. We live in a world where there are so many things that play a role in our getting bread into our mouths. And God, this is the point, God is in control of all those things. Where does the egg come from for a loaf of bread? Well, a chicken lays it somewhere. Well, God gives that chicken the ability to lay the egg. Where does the salt come from? Probably from some salt mine under a lake somewhere, some great salt deposit, or maybe from sea salt. Well, who put it there? Who gives the sea that characteristic that it's salty, the water? Well, God does. And so, all these things, the breadth of this petition, we confess that God controls all these things. There's nothing, and here's the thing, there's nothing too small to ask of God. There are things too big to ask of God. There are things that we ought not come to God with in our prayers. Luxuries and goals and desires that are simply earthly. But there's nothing too small for God in our prayer. So these are the words that Jesus gives in this petition. They're easily understood. We're not asking for anything spectacular here, just daily bread. It's rather mundane. And yet Jesus teaches us to ask it. And that brings us to the second part of the sermon. What are the reasons that we should ask it? If Jesus teaches us to make this petition in our prayers, there must be a reason that He teaches us to make these petitions. And here we have to see that this petition is not only a petition for our needs. It has not only to do with us, but it's also a confession. And every one of the reasons that we want to look at here have to do with God. It's a confession. Why do we pray? Give us this day our daily bread for our physical needs. Because in the first place, God saves us body as well as soul. God saves us body and soul. What's your only comfort in life and death? That I'm not my own, that I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. In the past, and perhaps today too, people look at this petition and they say, well, that's too ordinary, it's too mundane. Why ask God for such a small, little, insignificant thing? And it's exactly that objection to this petition that has made this petition and its meaning much a great topic of discussion in the history of the church. Already in the first centuries, the Christian commentators, the church fathers said, this isn't about earthly bread. And they tried to spiritualize the petition. Daily bread was too small of a thing, they concluded, to be asking of God in prayer. And they felt guilty asking for such a thing. And so they concluded that when Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread, He's referring to Himself, the bread come down from heaven. And they said, this is what Jesus is teaching us to pray for that spiritual bread and sustenance, Jesus Christ, in our daily lives, so that we know and we enjoy salvation in Him from day to day. And that was the way the church understood this petition for centuries. And in a sense, that was all right. But soon it led to heresy. Because the Roman Catholic Church saw the bread, Jesus Christ, in the elements of the sacrament. And so Rome says that when we pray for daily bread, we're praying for the bread of the Mass or the Eucharist to be administered from day to day. And so there's a daily celebration and sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ in the Mass. And they said this, Jesus is teaching us to pray here for that daily ministration and participation in the Mass. And so the Mass has become a daily ritual in the Roman Catholic Church. And they say there's something supernatural in taking the bread of the Mass each day. Well, you see the danger with spiritualizing this petition. We have to understand that this petition means just what it says, because God saves us body and soul from hell. God puts a value on the human body. And that's why Jesus teaches us to pray for our earthly needs. God makes our bodies. God made our bodies in the beginning. And the Bible says that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. Just think of it. The forming of a baby from a physical point of view in the womb. What a wonder. The great, marvelous, mysterious work of God. God redeems our bodies from the power of sin. He came Himself into human flesh in His Son to redeem our bodies, our human nature from the corruption of sin. Jesus in His human body cared for His human body, cared about Himself. He ate, He slept, and He had a great concern for the physical well-being of others. We read the miracle of Jesus turning bread, feeding 4,000 by the multiplication of bread. And we read there that He was moved with compassion because the people were hungry. He cared about their physical well-being, that they be fed. And then this, your body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We feed our bodies. We keep our bodies healthy. We keep them unspotted from spiritual corruption, but also take care of them because they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He redeems us body and soul, and He will make a new heavens and a new earth. He'll redeem this physical world and recreate it and our physical bodies and transform them in the resurrection. There's an old philosophy, Greek philosophy, that says the physical is evil and the spiritual is good. The Bible doesn't teach such a thing. God has created us good, and every creature is good if it be received with thanksgiving. And so we ask for just what the petition says here. We don't need to spiritualize it. Bread, because God cares about our bodies as well. And then the second reason that we must ask this petition or make this petition is that God is sovereign. God is sovereign over the smallest of things. If we really think about this petition, there's nothing mundane about it, nothing ordinary about it at all. We tend to look at bread as rather ordinary. But don't we tend to do that with everything that's a part of our daily life? We take our hands and our fingers and their movement for granted. We take our health for granted. We take our homes for granted, our family, the warmth, the clothing, so much. And so the bread, too. The basic necessities. But that doesn't mean that from God's point of view, this is just ordinary. God is the sovereign. And these minute things also have a place in God's sovereign counsel and God's sovereign control of the universe. And God's bringing these minute and ordinary things into our homes and into our lives and putting bread on our table is a part of His marvelous, sovereign, eternal plan. And the carrying out of it in the great work of providence. We confess as we make this petition that God is sovereign. In Psalm 24 verses 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, everything in it. He's the owner of all these things. In Haggai 2 verse 8, God says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts." Hosea 2 and verse 9, "Therefore will I return and take away my corn in the time thereof, and my wine in the season thereof, and will recover my wool and my flax given to cover your nakedness." You hear what God's saying? The corn and the wine and the clothing, it's His. And He says to Israel, He's going to come and take what's His. Because they're not acknowledging Him as the giver of those things. And they're not using those things to serve the Lord. And so when we pray this prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread," we acknowledge the sovereignty of God. And we make this petition because we depend on the sovereignty of God. Yes, God gives us work. And it's through our work that we earn a wage. And it's with that wage and that income that we're able to purchase the things for our day-to-day existence. But you see, all of that is from the Lord. Who gives you your work? Who gives you the ability to do your work? What do you have, says Paul in Colossians 2, that you haven't first received? God is the sovereign. God is the owner. God is the distributor. We're wholly dependent on Him. And that's what we confess, and that's why we must ask in this petition. This is a confession of trust and of dependence. The Catechism says that we may thereby acknowledge Thee to be the only fountain of all good. One of the commentators on the Catechism says, if we didn't make this petition, our prayers would be incomplete. This rounds out our prayers. This completes our prayers. What would our prayers be if they weren't a confession of dependence on God? And that's what we're saying here. Lord, Thou art the sovereign. We depend on Thee. That's why we pray this. And then the third reason is this, that the profit or the benefit of anything that we have depends on God's blessing. And the Catechism puts that this way, that neither our care, nor industry, nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. And it means this, our care, all our concern, our industry, all our labor, Thy gifts, all the things that God gives to us to meet our earthly needs. None of it even if we have care and industry, and even if we have the things we need for life, none of it is of any value to us at all, except God's blessing comes with it. And that's because God's grace isn't in the things themselves. This is what the psalmist wrestles with in Psalm 73. Go home and read Psalm 73. It's a psalm in which he confesses God is good to Israel. God is good to his people. But he has a question. How can he be good to Israel and his people when it seems that the wicked prosper and everything goes well for them while he goes mourning and in need from day to day? Is God good to me when others seem to have so much more? And then he learns to see that the grace isn't in the things. That's what common grace teaches. Grace is in the good things that God gives to people. But grace isn't in the things. Without God's blessing, not our care, not our industry, nor any of the good things that he gives can be of any value to us. In Psalm 106 and verse 15, God gave, it's talking about Israel in the wilderness, when they cried out for bread and for meat, he gave them their request. And he sent leanness unto their souls. Well, did the grace of God come to them in the bread? Did the grace of God come to them in the quails? No, the judgment of God came because while it was in their mouths, he sent a plague and destroyed them. God's grace isn't in the things. And so even though we receive things from God, even though our earthly needs are met, still we must make this prayer because we need the grace and the blessing of God with the things that we receive so that they don't bring leanness to our souls, but so that we, receiving them from God, are strengthened by them to serve him. God's blessing must come with them. And unless the blessing of God is on what we do, unless the blessing of God is on what we have, unless the blessing of God comes with the good things that he gives, those things will hurt us. He says in Psalm 73, God gives them those things to set them on slippery places that lead to sudden destruction. We need God's blessing. And so we're praying here not just for our physical needs, not just for bread, but we're praying that God will show us his favor and his love as he meets our needs from day to day. As we make this petition, it has an impact. There are implications for our lives. And I want to look here again at two of the words in the petition. The first word is daily. Why must we pray for daily bread? Well, as we pray for daily bread, that petition teaches us the brevity and the frailty of our life and our dependence on God. Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread. Is that how you think of your life? Is that how you count your life? Is that how you number your life daily? The psalmist says, Lord, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Life is brief. It's but a span, a few days. And it's a fool. It's a fool who ignores the brevity of life. In James chapter 4, verses 13 and following, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. He's talking about people who are not thinking of their life in terms of its brevity, and days, but they're planning. And we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to make this money and that profit. And he says, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that, because what is your life? What is your life? It's a vapor that lasts just a little while and then vanishes away. As the snow was melting, we saw the fog. After a day, it was gone. That's your life. A vapor that vanishes away. Here and then gone. Jesus teaches us to think of our life in those terms. Daily. Daily. The other word, bread. And now we should see this. Jesus teaches elsewhere that there's more to life than bread. He teaches that there's a greater purpose in God meeting our physical necessities. He says himself, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He says of himself, I am the bread come down from heaven. After the other miracle where Jesus feeds 5,000, the people come to him and they say, give us this bread. And they mean, give us this bread every day that you gave to us. Give us a continual diet of this bread. This would be wonderful. And Jesus says, no, there's another bread. I'm the bread come down from heaven. This is the important thing. This is the priority, that we seek that heavenly bread, Jesus Christ, as food for our souls, that we find our salvation and our nourishment and our life, that we put our confidence and our hope and our trust and set our goals not on physical things, for our life is but a few days, but this eternal bread who feeds us to life everlasting. You see the implications of the things that Jesus teaches here in our lives? A humility and a faith and an eternal and spiritual perspective on things, so that we seek heavenly treasures and not the things here of the earth. There's so much in this petition. We learn not to be anxious. We learn to be moderate. We learn to seek the kingdom things first. We learn that we should pray daily with our families. Give us today. We learn that we must be diligent in our work, because this is the means that God uses to give us to meet our daily needs. We learn thankfulness. We learn contentment. We learn to pray for others. There's so much here. And as we properly and humbly come before God and pray for daily bread, those things will come out in our life in godliness and in faith. Amen. Now, Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the answer to this prayer that we know in our lives, in the provision of our needs from day to day. And we thank Thee for the things that Jesus teaches us in this petition. We pray, Lord, that there'll be a fruit in our life, also as we ask for our daily needs. Go with us tonight and in this week, that we seek that heavenly bread, Jesus Christ, as food for our souls, that we find our salvation and our nourishment and our life, that we put our confidence in